This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. The story of New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina is being written block by block. No neighborhood illustrates this more vividly than the wide swath of the city called New Orleans East. In some parts, the state of rebuilding has been surprisingly rapid. As NPR's Greg Allen reports, there are large, mostly abandoned sections of New Orleans East, too. And it's these desolate places that are truly testing the city's leaders.
Many of the questions surrounding the future of New Orleans East have to do with its geography. It includes some of the lowest-lying land in the metropolitan area, some of it 10 feet below sea level. Also, it's a neighborhood that grew as part of the post-World War II housing boom, when confidence in New Orleans' levees and drainage system led builders to abandon elevated construction and begin putting houses on concrete pads with little or no elevation. For the rest of the answer, geographer Richard Campanella brings up a photo on a computer screen in his office at Tulane University. It was taken during Hurricane Katrina and depicts the spot where Interstate 510 crosses over the Mississippi River Gulf Outlet, the MRGO, a waterway many people call the Mr. Go.
This photo was taken at the base of that bridge, and you see the fence there, that's the levee.
Unlike much of the city, New Orleans East wasn't flooded as a result of broken levees. Here, a 15-foot-high storm surge simply overwhelmed the area's hurricane protection. In the photo, the fence is dwarfed by a wall of water.
It looks like a tidal wave, but it's pouring over that levee and into the New Orleans East Bowl.
That came in as a result of, I guess, the MRGO and also the Intercoastal Waterway.
So the infamous funnel.
Those two waterways channeled the storm surge directly into New Orleans East. The area where the water came in is not far from where Joe Gersha lives. His home is on Major Street, and he knows all about the funnel.
We had water about up to here.
Well, that's about 3 feet?
Yeah, well, you could say 3 feet, 30 inches, 3 feet. And we had to redo, you know, all of the sheetrock up to the ceiling, all of the furniture, everything. When we started...
Inside, Gersha's house looks great. New windows, new floors, new furniture. And it's the same story all along his street. After a year and a half of hard work, families are back in 25 of the 30 houses. In other areas nearby, he says, it's a similar story.
There's an Eastover subdivision, which is very expensive homes. That's 75% back. Bullard, which is about four blocks east, about 75 of those people are back because most of that was new. Those people were insured.
Just a few blocks closer to Lake Pontchartrain, there's another New Orleans East neighborhood where it's a completely different story. On these two blocks of Mercer Street, at only 10 of the 31 houses, is there a trailer or any other signs that the former occupants may be coming back? Aside from a few barking dogs, the street is almost completely deserted. Joseph Parikh lives around the corner, and he says there's one thing that's keeping folks from returning.
Money, 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 money.
Parikh has been back in his house for more than a year, but apart from his family, he hasn't had a lot of company.
I'm the only person in this block between this McKinley Street and that's Lucerne. I'm the only person back in this block. They're not coming back. They sold that house across the street over there. They got a lot of houses that still ain't been gutted out. They got a lot of houses, got buku trash. You know, look, them people ain't never been back. They gutted it out, but that was it.
Joseph Parikh says he's confident his neighbors will eventually come back after the city and the state come up with a plan that provides the money and guidance many people are still looking for. But so far, he says, the city has done little to encourage people in New Orleans East to return.
The city talk a lot of crap. You know, they always talk about what they going to do. They're going to do this. I can't tell. I mean, it's so slow. You know what I'm saying? It's so slow of doing things. You know, look, we ain't got no stores out here. You know where we eating from? The gas station.
City leaders say they're working hard on a plan to help residents return to New Orleans. But it's still months, at least, away from completion. The plan's project manager, Troy Henry, says one answer to mostly abandoned neighborhoods like Joseph Parikh's may be something called clustering. Instead of returning to sparsely populated areas with few services, Henry says residents will be encouraged to relocate to other neighborhoods nearby.
That is going to be one of the first things that occurs in the implementation phase. As soon as we get a plan that is baked, the city is going to then be working with those neighborhoods to help them determine, you know, your viability and where you, when and where you should cluster. That's one of the first things they've got to do.
As part of clustering, planners envision a series of green space and parks that will link neighborhoods together. But for some people here, clustering sounds like something they'd rather avoid. Many residents, people like Edward Mayo, are suspicious that when city leaders talk about relocating people to New Orleans East, they're thinking about low-income residents with Section 8 housing vouchers.
We don't want the city to throw all of the city Section 8 out here in New Orleans East just because we have the land. Okay, and I think that's what the thinking is, you know. But what about me? I've invested my money in my property. You're going to put all these Section 8 people out here who are folks that were in the projects before, and that's going to bring property value down.
Proposals for a moratorium on multifamily housing have sparked an outcry from housing activists in New Orleans who charge it's racist. But there's something else Mayo is concerned about, the future threat of flooding. Residents of New Orleans East say that they'll feel a lot safer when the Mr. Go is closed once and for all. While that's under discussion, it's still far from certain. Tulane geographer Richard Campanella says even if Mr. Go is closed, residents who don't build higher will continue to be at risk.
One of the great lessons of Katrina is that, in fact, technology did not neutralize topography and hydrology. Those ancient geographies of risk came roaring back with Katrina's surge. So we need to factor that in rebuilding the city.
Back in Joe Gersh's neighborhood, there are cars in the driveways. A toddler is playing on the sidewalk. Neighbors are out doing yard work. On a beautiful spring-like day like today, you can almost forget there was a Hurricane Katrina. But even after all the renovations, Gersha notes that one important detail about almost all these homes is unchanged, their elevation. Many are below sea level.
And unfortunately, had some of these homes right where we are, well, 3 feet up, we would have had no water.
What's your elevation, do you know?
It's like 4 feet below sea level, right here.
4 feet below sea level now, do you have, I mean, you worry about the future?
No, absolutely not. If it comes again, that'll be it. I'll just put an X on the spot and I'm gone.
Joe Gersh says one thing is certain, he's not going through all this again. Greg Allen, NPR News, New Orleans.